Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
Today we will bring a conclusion to the series of lessons that we have had from the book of Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7 in regard to our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, as we draw our series to a close, I want to ask the question, and that is centered in and around what we will be discussing from the context of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 29. And friends, that question is are you building your life upon Jesus Christ, our Lord, upon the Son of God? In order for us to understand what is going on in the context of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 29, I believe that it's important for us to gather the full context of what we have looked at in regard to the Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and following. To begin with, God identifies through the words of our Lord is that in order for us to judge righteously, in order for us to look out at the world of which we live in, as well as not only of those who are outside of the body of Christ, but also as we would deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ from a judgmental standpoint, we must live righteous lives. They will find fault in us, finding fault in them, if indeed we are not doing all that is within our power to do to live right in the sight of our God. And therefore, friends, for our soul's sake, but also so that we might be able to be effective in reaching out to help correct people whenever they're living a life that is filled with sin, we must make sure that we are living our lives right in the sight of God. But also, our Lord has shared in the context of what we find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 8 through verse 12, is that God opens doors for hearts who are truly seeking after Him. God identifies is that those who are coming after Him in a very serious manner, those who are asking, those who are seeking, those who are knocking, is that He is paying attention to those individuals and that in reality He is working providentially to align those who are New Testament Christians so that they will be able to be brought unto our God and so that their questions or concerns in life will be able to be answered from a biblical standpoint. But God also reminds us through the words of our Lord in the context of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and verse 14, is that few, in compared to the majority, will be able to find our God. Only a few will be truth seekers. Only a few will really and truly want to know what God has planned for us in and through Jesus Christ our Lord, compared to the majority. The majority is satisfied with going according to the broad way that leads unto destruction. And yet at the same time, God identifies that we must be a part of those who are walking the straight and narrow path in order for us to be able to partake of heaven's eternal reward. But friends, our Lord goes on to identify from the context of Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through verse 23, is that pseudo or false teachers disguise themselves as sheep. They dress themselves up as religious people. They quote at the Bible, hoping that they will be able to sound religious and to look religious. But in reality, they are servants of the devil. They're not working for God. They really and truly do not belong to our God. Why would I say that these people who are very religious, who do even some very good things, they do not belong to God? Why would I say that? Because that's what Jesus identified in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through verse 23. In the day of judgment, Jesus said that these people will come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, in Your name, doing all these religious things and stamping Your name to it, we have done all these wonderful things, Lord, to the glory of Your name. And Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Not that He once knew them, that at some point in their false views that they had a relationship with Him, but rather Jesus very explicitly says, I never knew you. You have been duped. You have been fooled by living the life that you were living from a religious perspective. And friends, then that has prompted our Lord to go on to explain the lesson that is laid before us this morning about, are we really and truly building our lives upon Jesus in the context of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 29, Jesus identifies as that wise people build their lives upon the Christ, upon the anointed one of our God. What do we see in life though? In reality, we live in a world where the people build their lives according to their personal feelings, wants, and desires. They will go out and do whatever seems right in their own mind. They will go out and live according to however their feelings lead them. But yet at the same time, God reminds us is that that's not a safe approach to take whenever we are seeking a relationship with Him. In the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the Scripture identifies is that there is a way that seems right unto man. Your feelings may seem right is what He is identifying. But God goes on to explain to us is that that way is a way of death. Why? Because it is contrary to the way or to the will of our God. But friends, also, I've dealt with people and I trust that I'm not alone, is that probably a majority, if not all of us, has spoke with individuals who are building their lives according to their family traditions. And let me say that as I introduce that point, is that not all family traditions are wrong. Some families have traditions of getting together for family reunions, and that's a good thing. Some families have things that they do together from a tradition standpoint over the holidays, and those are good. But people oftentimes will build their lives, their religious beliefs, based off of what their family beliefs are. And friends, I tell you that we must not do that. Why? Because the Bible identifies to us is that we are not to love mother and father, son or daughter, more than we love God. And somebody might say, well, why are you saying that if I'm following according to the religious perspective or belief of my family, that I'm loving my family more than God? Because in reality, if our family is not worshiping God in truth, if our family does not believe the Bible according to the way in which God gives it, in the context of which He gives it, friends, in reality, we are loving our family more than we're loving God. And we cannot, we must not build our lives in that direction if we want to be pleasing and acceptable to our God. But also, we live in a world today where that a lot of people build their lives according to the world. They look to the things that are in the world. And I'm going to go on to say, even whenever it comes to the world, there are some good things in this world. And there are things that we can do in this world that is not wrong in the sight of God. But as it would relate to the majority of things that we find in the world and its take on God, the world and the way in which it is living its lives, the standard by which people live, those things do not align with the will of God. And therefore, we cannot do what we find a majority, it seems, are doing, and that is building their lives by what is pleasing or by that which is acceptable to the world. Christians cannot do that. Why? Because it is against our God. But friends, also, when we think with regard to the way in which people are building their lives, a lot of people are building their lives from what they are learning from the religionists that are in the world. They're building their lives based off of what a theologian, what a so-called religious scholar has to say about particular matters as it pertains to their religious beliefs and such. Or they're building their lives off of what the preacher says versus what the Bible says. And I want you to know that as a preacher, I appreciate the fact that you put trust in me as I stand before you and proclaim God's Word. But also as a preacher and serving as one of the elders here, I'm going to say, don't take my word for things. Read and study and make sure that the things that I am teaching align with the will of God. I would never, and I hope and pray that I would never, ever willfully say something that is contrary to the will of God, but I am human and I make mistakes from time to time and I even misspeak from time to time. And during those times, I want you to I want you to go to the Bible and to make sure that the things that I'm saying certainly align with the Scripture. And we find, though, is that in the world, a majority, they're not doing that. Or if there are, shame on them because they're not coming out of what is found in the religious world and the denominations in false doctrine. So many people build their lives according to what they are taught versus what they are able to read in the Scripture. And friends, today I stand before you and say, and I praise those who seek to do this. Some people build their lives upon the Word of God, according to what God's Word teaches. And that's what we must do. We must make sure that our lives come in line with what God's will is for us. And if we do not, then we're no better off than anyone else. What does God expect of us? According to what we find here in the context of our lesson this morning, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, God expects Christians to be hearers of the Word, to make sure that they listen to the things that are being taught from His Scripture. But friends, not only that they listen to the things that are being taught, but also that they are diligent students of His Word, reading and studying each and every day from the Bible. And as they're reading and studying, they are examining their life to make sure that their lives align with what God expects a man to do during the time in which we dwell here. Not only does God expect us to be hearers of the Word, but friends, also God commands us to be doers of the Word. And if we are not, James chapter 1 and verse 22, then we are deceiving ourselves. If all we are listeners, and that's important, but if that's what our life consists of, friends, we're not doing ourselves any good as we're trying to serve God or to go to heaven. Because only those who hear and make the application to the life really and truly are going to be faithful and going to be found right in the sight of God. But also, from the context, we draw a conclusion that Christians must focus and work every single day to build their life upon Christ. Our relationship with God begins whenever we submit to Christ in baptism. It's in baptism that we come in contact with the blood of our Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. But at the same time, friends, whenever our sins are washed away, if you would, in that watery grave of baptism, as we are raised, the Bible identifies to us as that from that point forward, we are commanded, commissioned by God to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through verse 7 and following, in fact. What God identifies to us is that it's not a once and done deal, meaning that we're baptized and we're going to go to heaven. Baptism is of all means most essential. But at the same time, friends, we must work and we must focus each and every day to continually build our lives, center our lives in and around our Lord. And friends, God has not given us a charge without direction, but rather what we learn as we study from the New Testament Scripture, specifically as it would relate to the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when we read in reference to the life and the teachings of Jesus, these things serve as instructions for us. Whenever Jesus speaks in the New Testament Scripture, He wants us to listen. And He wants us to pay attention attentively to the things that He is saying. Why? Because these things apply to us either directly or indirectly as valuable lessons for our lives. But friends, also, from the examples that Jesus sets forth, from the places that He went, from the people that He spoke to, and the way in which He dealt with people in life, all of these examples of our Lord serve as examples for you and me today. We are to understand from His life the type of life that we are to live. Hence, God wants us to be successful in serving Him, in building our lives upon Him. The Bible identifies as that those who study and apply, they will be pleased and they will be blessed by God. Those who build their lives upon the solid rock, the Bible identifies to us as that whenever the rains come, whenever the storms come in, the storms of life, or whenever the temptations come around, is that we will be able to stand. Why? Because we have done all that God charges us to do by building our lives upon Jesus Christ. That's what God says as it relates to you and me as Christians, as those who are seeking every day to follow our Lord. But I also want to ask, what about the others? What about people who do not build their lives upon the Christ? Those who establish their lives upon the world, they are foolish. The atheists who say that there is no God, the Bible identifies to us as that they are foolish. Why? Because there's all kinds of evidence as it would relate to God in this world. God has not left Himself without witness. All those who think then that there is a God, they go along with theistic evolution, saying, I want to believe in God, but at the same time, I want my evolutionary theories. Friends, they also are fools. Why? Because they think that they are wiser than God. Their ways, according to their own mindset, is superior to that of God. And friends, because of that, they are seen as foolish in the sight of our God. People of the world, they invest their lives into the ways of the world. They look to the things, the direction that the world is saying to go, and they go in that direction. Then they buy into the fact that what we find in the world, what the world says is a fact, rather, is that the more that you can acquire in life, the greater person you are. And friends, all those are worldly concepts. And God wants us to be aware of that. And God wants us to be on guard and to guard against those things in our lives. Worldly people put their trust in things of the world. But you know, the Bible says unto us, whenever it comes to the things of the world, is that they are simply temporal, meaning that they're not going to last forever. The things of the world that we find today, we have them for a while and we throw them away. We have them for a while and we may pass them on if indeed they're still around. We have them for a while and they're no longer here. But friends, God also identifies to us, whenever it comes to the things in the world, they are going to melt with fervent heat whenever He destroys this world by fire in the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who build their lives upon the world, those who are not building upon Jesus Christ, whenever the storms come in, whenever their lives are challenged, the Bible identifies as that they will not be able to withstand the storms. Why? Because they are not built upon the foundation of Christ. They're built upon the sand. And the sand is not a firm and solid foundation. And God affirms and He warns that great will be their fall. So many people who even claim to be Christians, members of the church, who are building their lives upon the world, in that, whenever they face trials in life, they're crushed. Great is their fall. Friends, in a greater way than that fall, whenever those people stand in the presence of God in the day of judgment, sadly, great will be their fall. They will not be able to enter in. They will not be able to enter in into heaven's eternal reward. So today I ask you, what about you? Are you truly trying to build your life upon Jesus Christ? None of us are perfect. But at the same time, God calls upon us, every single one of us in His church, to strive for perfection in Jesus Christ. And you may be one sitting here today and you say, well, Kevin, I'm here. Of course I'm trying to build my life upon Christ. And friends, I'm not asking, are you always here? That is important. That is essential. That is commanded. But outside of here, every single day, every single moment of every day, are you thinking as a Christian ought to think? Is your mind wrapped around God and godliness? And you say, Kevin, why? Why would you say that my mind needs to be wrapped around godliness? Friends, if our mind is wrapped around godliness, then our lives are going to be built around serving God every single day. So are you truly trying to build your life upon Jesus Christ? Another important factor is that is it important for you to study God's Word each and every day? Not once a week. Not once a month. Not whenever we come together. We will study as we come together in our classes. We will study whenever we come together in worship. But what are you doing at home? Are you studying the Bible every day? If you're not, I'm going to contend that you're not serious about building your life upon Christ. Friends, I eat every day because I know that it's necessary for my survival, for my good health. And more important than that, God wants us to consume His Word every single day for our spiritual well-being, for our spiritual nourishment and spiritual growth. Are you studying the Bible each and every day? Is that important to you? But then also, can others see our Lord through your examples? We ought to be trying to live as Jesus, according to the examples that He has set forth. That's building our lives upon Jesus. But I want to ask you, is that if you were arrested for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you of such? Will the world that you come in contact with each and every day say, yes, I know that he or she is a Christian because of the way in which they talk, also according to the way in which they walk? What do others say? What would others say about the examples that you are setting forth in your life? But friends, also, as you examine your life in comparison to the Scripture, not comparing yourself to every other soul out here, but as you compare your life to the Scripture, as you examine your life, what do you see or what do you find when you do so? Do you find shortcomings? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and therefore all of us ought to every day be praying to God for the private sins that we commit in our lives. And in that, hence, we grow beyond the moments that we have where we do fall short. But friends, does sin characterize your life? And if it does, what are you doing to change? Or are you doing anything to change your life? If not, why not today? Why not make the commitment to say unto yourself and recommit yourself to God and to say, you know, I want to go to heaven more than anything. I want to spend eternity in heaven with my God. This past Monday, a week ago tomorrow, I went to the hospital to see Sister Dora. And I sat with her for over an hour in conversation before the family got there. And I am so grateful to God that I had that opportunity just to sit, me and her, to talk. And we had such a good time, and we talked about some very serious things. And about midway into our conversation, she said, I want to go to heaven more than anything in life. And I said, Dora, what do you mean? She said, would you say prayer for me in case there's anything that is amiss in my life? And we offered prayer. And we know that if there were things there, that God forgave her. And friends, I know where she is now. She's in the comfort of our God because her life was hidden in Christ. And this morning I ask you, is your life hidden in Christ? Do you want to go to heaven more than anything? But then also, is there anything that stands between you and God today? If so, let's take care of that this very hour as together we stand and as we sing.